You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 389. Today is Monday, May 22nd, and there isn't a ton of Notre Dame football news, but we'll talk a few things, some recruiting, and then some. Also, there was an article out by 24/7 where they ranked the highest grossing programs by revenue, and Notre Dame did make the top 25 list rather easily, but there were some surprises along the way, so we'll talk about that. And was there something else, Randall, that we...
Well, what we can mention right away is that we're down to 103 days until football season starts. So we're almost at the 100-day mark. And if you do want to keep track of the days, Brian Kelly's son, Patrick Kelly, you can follow him on Twitter, PatrickKelly35. He's been doing the countdown basically since the season ended. Every day he tweets out the amount of days left. And so you can follow it that way, but I'm sure all the different Notre Dame sites, everyone will start doing the countdown with the players' jersey numbers and or something like that. But we're already getting close to 100 days until football season. It doesn't seem real that we're that close already. I'd say the worst thing about this countdown and even like scheduling stuff at work is summer is just getting started, but we're already talking about fall and winter, what we're going to be doing. And that's depressing to me. Until it comes to football.
True. Well, let's start then. Let's save the recruiting for the end, and then let's talk about the ranking by programs as far as revenue goes. And Solon posted this over in our forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Maybe one of the biggest surprises, it's not that Notre Dame is as high as they are. They were, according to 24/7, they brought in $98.5 million. And maybe the most surprising one.
And this would have been in the 2015-16 fiscal year is what they're going by.
Okay. Maybe one of the big surprises is that there's a couple. Texas is way ahead of the rest of the pack. So pretty much, I'm just pulling this up right now. The top 25 starts out at about $50 million. And then when you get closer to the top 10, and just give me 1 second as I pull this up here.
Well, Texas is number one at $127 million.
And then when you get to 15, 14, 13, you're closer to 70, $75
million. Well, even Tennessee is number two, which I'm kind of surprised they're number two, but they're at $107 million. So they're $20 million behind number one, Texas, which Texas... Yeah, if you've ever been in Texas close to Austin, you can understand. It does make sense why they do make that much money. I mean, you can't go anywhere without being having the opportunity to buy some Texas Longhorns shirt, keychain, something. It's everywhere. The one time I was down there, they even had... I was at the mall during a Texas game. I'm not sure who they were playing. This was quite a few years ago. But they had to come through, security had to come through and tell everybody to clear out of the aisleways because they were at like the kiosk in the center of the aisles. Everybody was crowded around watching the TVs, and they had to tell people to get out of the way so that the shoppers can get through. I don't know where else you would see that. You definitely don't see that in Notre Dame. Yep. Maybe because everybody's either at the game or at home watching it, but that's obviously not the case in Austin.
Okay, so Ohio State... I'll just name some of the interesting ones. Ohio State is $86.6 million. They're at 9. And then you've got Georgia, Auburn, Oklahoma, Michigan at $97 million. They're number 5. Notre Dame is 4th at $98.5. Alabama is 3rd at $103. And then, yeah, Tennessee, surprising number 2, $107 million. And I do wonder, where would Alabama be if they wouldn't have had the kind of success they have had. If they would have had Tennessee's last, you know, 15 years or maybe even 20 years, would they be as high as they are? And I'm just curious. They're definitely the best team in college football right now. And as long as Saban stays there, I think they'll remain at the top. They'll have some competition, of course, from Ohio State and I think from Michigan too, and probably maybe another school will rise up in the SEC. But I'm just I'm curious what will happen to Alabama football if they do take a dive, and I'm assuming they will after Saban leaves.
Well, they probably will once Saban leaves, because that's when the NCAA will do an investigation into all the stuff that goes on there, and then they'll have sanctions, all kind of stuff that will kind of set them back. But that's not going to happen until Alabama's glory days are over, which is when Saban will leave.
There could be a scandal that breaks, and maybe that's what pushes Saban away. I mean, he's old enough. I don't think he'll coach.
They're not
going to
get punished
else.
Because they don't confess to anything like Notre Dame does, and so they don't even have the chance to get punished for stuff. I'd say the top 25, one of the most interesting, was USC at 25, behind TCU. I figured USC would be higher in this list. But, okay, so they are at 25 with $51.2 million, and just today they announced that they have come to an agreement with United Airlines to sell the naming rights of the stadium for $70 million over the next 15 years, so that'll help that number, which I, $5 million a year? So they'll jump up a couple spots. They'll be up there with Florida State and Iowa. But I had to laugh at the one comment that was mentioned with that, is that they hope that the seating situation at the Coliseum won't be the same as United Airlines policies are. And then looking at that, just today, there was another story about a United Airlines flight attendant asking a customer with a prosthetic leg to jump up and down to prove that they were healthy enough to sit in the emergency seat. They had reserved the exit row seating because they wanted more room. And I believe the guy was actually like a he was 31 year old, lost his leg to cancer when he was 11, and he grew up to be a professional skater. But he paid for the extra leg room, and they feared that he wouldn't be strong enough to open the exit door, so they asked if he could jump up and down, and when he asked to talk to someone else, they actually moved him to another seat. But so I guess in the next 15 years, if you're going to the USC to watch a game, be sure you can jump up and down if you're going to be in a
exit row. Well, hopefully there's no emergency exit rows designated in a football stadium.
Anyways.
Okay, let's talk about recruiting then.
Well, just to mention before we get to recruiting, graduation was this weekend, and so you saw quite a few pictures of players and even guys that are transferring that came back, got their degrees. I mean, Justin Brent, Malik Zaire, some of the other guys that have transferred that still graduated, Devin Butler. But those guys did get their degree, so even if football doesn't work out for them, they have a Notre Dame degree. But with recruiting, Notre Dame sent out a couple more offers, not quite as many as last week. But for 2018, they are obviously going after cornerbacks. It's fairly obvious after Gervin's decommitment the other week. And they offered Joe Wilkins Jr., a 175-pound defensive back out of Fort Myers, Florida. And then Dante Burton is a cornerback out of Lawrenceville, Georgia, 6'1", 164. And then Telly Plummer is a cornerback out of Fairburn, Georgia, 6'1", 185. And he already has Notre Dame in his top 10 with schools Maryland, Ole Miss, Virginia Tech. He doesn't have Alabama in there, so maybe there's a chance. And then for 2019 guys, DJ Turner, another cornerback, 5'11", 170 from Suwanee, Georgia. And then they did offer an offensive lineman, Nolan Rumler, 6'4", 290 from Akron, Ohio. And then a wide receiver, DeMarco Helland, 6'1", 195 from Hyattsville, Maryland, which is actually the D.C. area. And then Kenny McIntosh, which is Deion McIntosh's brother. He's a running back. Some sites have him listed as an athlete, but he's 6'1", 205 from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So those are the offers that went out last week. There were a couple guys that released their top schools, top five, top ten, whatever. One of them was Master Teague III, the running back that Notre Dame offered like a week ago, and he did not include Notre Dame in his top three. So the offer might have been a little late, and he's down to Tennessee, Georgia, and Auburn. And then some defensive linemen, Cameron Latua from Utah, and Aeneas Hawkins, defensive tack from Ohio. Those guys did not include Notre Dame in their top 10. Not necessarily surprising, but they are guys that had Notre Dame offers that did not include, that did not have Notre Dame included. There was Notre Dame did get a basketball commitment. Mike Bray did, Prentice Hub. And the reason I mention it is that there is a Twitter account called Fake Big Harry. It has a picture of Harry Hiestand. And he quoted Tom Loy's tweet from 24/7, you know, saying, breaking news, Notre Dame lands guard, Prentice Hub. Well, his tweet was, Tom, pretty sure if we landed a guard, I'd know about it. But if you kind of know Harry Hiestand, they try to use his humor. And it, if you want to follow that, it's Fake Big Harry. So I thought that was kind of funny when I saw that. But Dallas Gant, the guy we talked about last week, he did end up committing to Ohio State last Tuesday. So there's one another guy off the board. But then, you know, Notre Dame is still, the coaches are out on the trail. The last week they've been at a lot of high school spring games to watch guys, even guys that don't have offers. I guess the highlight of those was Kevin Austin. We've heard his name quite a bit if you follow recruiting, wide receiver. He made the biggest thing. He had four touchdowns, and there was a couple of Notre Dame coaches there watching him, as well as other schools' coaches. But
is he a walk-on at that high school?
Yeah. So the coaches were still on the road watching these guys, watching spring games. So one of the current commits, Braden Lindsay from Georgia, is running track, and he qualified for, or he was in the state finals in Oregon for the 100 meter, 200 meter, and 400 meter. So he did end up winning the 400 meter. He was second in the 200 meter and fourth in the 100 meter. But
now, is that, as that, a so that, football that's player, national then?
That was the state of Oregon.
Okay.
But to be in the finals for all three of those, and then be a football player as well. And we hear that he's fast, but obviously Notre Dame is getting a good track player, and he'll probably join Troy Pride on the track team when he gets to Notre Dame. Phil Dracovic, the 2018 quarterback, he's helping out Marquise Stepp and trying to recruit wide receivers. So he sent out a tweet and tagged a whole bunch of top wide receivers and said, great degree while playing for titles. So he's doing his job getting recruits out there. So if you're worried at all about what's happening with some of those top guys, I think they're pretty comfortable being committed to Notre Dame. Yeah, and you see Notre Dame is doing a good job with the graphics that they send out. One of them that they send out had a picture of the players, you know, with their area code, you know, and then 2574. And so there's some big names that were retweeting those, and it's getting their attention. You hear from different recruits that they love what Notre Dame's doing. Notre Dame's doing a great job with these recruits, so they're hitting the right notes. Maybe you don't like to see, you don't really care about those pictures that the school is sending out, but it's working with the recruits. I'm saying people just out there. Yeah, just in general. Yeah. But guys like having their edits at the school that's offering them or giving them some attention. So obviously that takes time. If you've ever tried it, that takes quite a bit of time coming up with some of that stuff. So anyways, that's basically where recruiting is at right now. Irish Invasion is on June 10th, which is what, not quite 3 weeks until then. So,
PJ Mustafer, maybe I'll add a little bit of recruiting news since I don't typically.
That's good.
PJ Mustafer took his official to Penn State, and part of the thing you saw on for mentioning this, and I looked it up as well. 24/7 did flip their crystal ball predictions, and now he's highly favored to Penn State, 77%. And so it does seem like they're losing ground there. I don't know. My gut feeling was that his brother, Sam, old lineman at Notre Dame, and, you know, slotted in to start this upcoming season. I just thought that this would be an easy get for Notre Dame with PJ, and he is a defensive lineman. So I kind of thought this would be just my gut was just this being easy pickup for Notre Dame, but definitely doesn't seem to be headed in that direction.
Yeah, Notre Dame has to do a lot of work there, but here's the thing. Obviously, he took a visit, official visit to Penn State, but really, if you're getting a visit paid for, why not go check out the school?
I know, but...
But I know they did.
I don't know how accurate these crystal ball...
I'm assuming guys that are heavily involved. Yeah,
some other factors behind that than just the official visit. I assume.
Yeah, but if I was, I would be taking those official visits. It's paid for. You might as well go check it out. I mean, I enjoy seeing new places.
Once I know where I'm going to go, I don't think I'd take any more official visits unless I'd have some fellow, you know, buddies that would be going as well.
Yeah, here's one other note that's kind of interesting. Jalen Phillips is a safety out of Florida, I believe. I have to check now. I didn't write it down. But he doesn't even have a Notre Dame offer, and he put Notre Dame in his top 10 this last week. But he did with some other schools. His top 10 included Ohio State, LSU, and Georgia, and he doesn't have any offers from those schools. So it's hard to tell how schools look at that. Like, I wouldn't do that as a recruit because – now at Notre Dame, you know you can maybe wait a little bit longer to offer him because you know that he's interested. Versus, because you got to play that game, you can't just offer every guy that you want because some of them really want to come to Notre Dame, but there's maybe a couple guys ahead of them that you want to try to get before giving them up. Like, especially if it's an in-state guy, you might wait a little bit longer to offer a three-star guy from Indiana until you know that these other guys aren't going to come. Because if you give him that offer, he's going to take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's a good idea for recruits. For me personally, I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, that's probably a good – you're probably right that it's smarter to just list schools that have offered you.
Yeah. But, hey, it's their life. They can do what they want. It's their decision. So.
Okay, anything else?
That's basically it on the recruiting.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Check back next Monday for another podcast. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.